It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Researchers from Wisconsin and around the world have introduced a new way to evaluate traumatic brain injuries, calling the way medical professionals have categorized these injuries for decades as out of date.
According to the National Institutes of Health, TBI is a silent public health epidemic because of its widespread impact and because it's a major cause of disability and death.
Healthcare providers measure a person's level of consciousness after a brain injury with the Glasgow Coma Scale. The scale was developed about a half century ago, and it's been a crucial neurological exam for managing TBIs.
But now a new approach would add to the existing classification system with use of brain and blood scans to help improve accuracy.
Mike McCrae is a professor of neurosurgery and neurology and director of the Brain Injury Research Program at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He is one of the authors of this new classification system published recently in the journal The Lancet Neurology. Mike, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks, Kate. It's a real pleasure to join you again.
You have said the scale used to evaluate patients for traumatic brain injuries is outdated and embarrassing. Why does the system need to be updated?
Yeah, there's a long list of reasons, I'm afraid. And what you're referring to is, for just over 50 years now, we've really been using a single unidimensional approach to classifying traumatic brain injury, being the Glasgow Coma Scale, which has been around forever. It's got great utility in its ability to communicate between clinicians like myself and discriminate between, for instance, a patient who may come in with a GCS score, Glasgow Coma Scale score of 3, with major brain trauma and in deep coma, from the patient with a milder form of injury that, for instance, may walk into the emergency department, be slightly confused, and a GCS of 14 or 15. Immediately, I know those are two different patients and what's coming our way when we have to make rapid decisions about patient care. But it really is not sufficient in characterizing and describing the nuances of each individual patient with traumatic brain injury. So we assembled clinicians, you know, doctors, and researchers from around the world, all of whom were aware of the fact that we needed a better way for our patients. But what we really heard loud and clear was from people with lived experience who we engaged in this effort, patients who had experienced traumatic brain injury and the families of those patients, who were just incredibly dissatisfied with the way we've been doing things. Hmm. And that was a real wake-up call, recognizing that from the people that matter most, our patients and their families, that there was a need to do better, and we needed to find a way to do that.
So we're hearing patients and their families saying, look, the Glasgow Coma Scale of mild, moderate, or severe, just too overly broad. But this is an exam that has been used the world over for decades. What else should patients be screened for when being evaluated for TBIs?
It's not only overly broad, but we heard from patients and families that it was perhaps even negatively impacting their ability to access care and the expectations they formed around recovery. So believe it or not, the existing approach that we've been using for years was taking a Glasgow Coma Scale score, and which has a range from 3 to 15. And as I said, a GCS of 3 is someone in deep coma. A GCS of 15 is someone who walks in, they're not even confused, but they may have minor symptoms. And essentially, if you were a GCS 3 to 8, you had, quote, severe traumatic brain injury. If you were 9 to 12, you had moderate. And if you were a GCS 13 to 15, you had, quote, mild traumatic brain injury. There's no disease state in modern medicine where the classification is limited to, quote, mild, moderate, severe. So this movement is really about moving beyond the age-old nomenclature of mild, moderate, severe, And actually, it's not about tossing out the GCS or the Glasgow Coma Scale. It's about what could we add to the GCS that gives us a much better characterization and description of the individual patient in front of me at this moment that would help inform our decisions about providing them the best care that gives them the best opportunity at survival, recovery, and return to their normal life after brain injury.
What are those tests? How could you build on it?
Overall, we've created what's called the CBIM framework, the C being clinical, that expands upon the Glasgow Coma Scale, looking at subcomponents of the GCS, but also incorporating things like pupillary reactivity, which we know to be an important diagnostic and prognostic marker in traumatic brain injury. So that makes up the C pillar. The B being the utility of blood-based biomarkers. And this is something that has emerged in traumatic brain injury over the last 10 plus years. Some of your listeners might be familiar with something called troponin, which is a blood marker of acute cardiac injury or heart attack. So if I walk into the emergency department with chest pain and shortness of breath at my age and my demographic, immediately the concern is that I might be having a heart attack. And before they grab their stethoscope, they're going to get a blood draw on me to check my troponin level. That's such a robust indicator of acute cardiac injury. Well, we've never had the troponin for traumatic brain injury until now. And there are a couple very promising blood-based biomarkers that are detectable in peripheral blood, in a blood draw from your arm, that tell us with extremely high probability whether you have a brain bleed resulting from your traumatic brain injury before we even do any imaging of your brain. So that's the B in the CBIM. The I is a more detailed characterization of imaging that's commonly conducted in emergency departments when you present with possible traumatic brain injury. Most conventionally, a CAT scan or CT. Historically, the designation has been that a patient is, quote, CT positive or CT negative. But we also know that if I line up 10, quote, CT positive patients, they could have 10 very different findings on acute head CT, ranging from a very small minor contusion that doesn't require any medical intervention to a very large space-occupying subdural hematoma or blood collection that may require emergency neurosurgical intervention and life-saving measures. The interaction here between the B for blood-based biomarkers and the I for imaging is the performance of these biomarkers is such that elevated biomarker levels can indicate the likelihood of blood, a brain bleed on imaging, and we can fast track that patient to the CAT scan. On the other side, very low levels of these biomarkers might prevent somewhere in the order of about 30% of unnecessary head CTs after minor head trauma.
Yeah, so you can kind of move through a process and go to the next step or the next stage.
Correct. And as like in stroke, time is brain. And you know, in individuals with more severe forms of trauma, our ability to rapidly triage in the field, for instance, and in trauma centers could have really meaningful impact in improving survival and recovery and outcome after these injuries.
One thing you didn't mention is a person's social support system, their environment that they are in, and their own mental health. Why might those be important to improving patient care and outcomes for TBIs?
Really, the C, the B, and the I directly relate to findings of associated with the traumatic brain injury. But we also know there are a number of social, psychological, and environmental factors that have a major influence on recovery and outcome after traumatic brain injury. And those are modifiers. That represents the M pillar. whether someone may have a prior history of depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, whether they may be homeless or gainfully employed. Do they have an intact social support system at home versus not? Do they have insurance coverage versus not? All of these are important factors for me to take into account when creating a care plan, particularly a follow-up care plan for patients affected by traumatic brain injury, because there's tons of literature from our group and others around the country for decades now indicating that it's not only about injury, what we find on these biomarkers and neuroimaging, for instance. It's about the person who comes to injury and the environment in which their recovery occurs. So that represents the sort of the final pillar in the CBIM framework that we are proposing and introducing.
Mike McRae is with us talking about this newly proposed standards for assessing people for traumatic brain injuries. He's a professor of neurosurgery and neurology and is director of the Brain Injury Research Program at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Mike, how might these new standards, this form of triage, be accepted by the neurology community and the medical community at large?
That's a question that is extremely important for implementation, and one that we took seriously really from the outset of this major global initiative. I've been involved in projects like this in the past where someone may have a wonderful idea. We put a couple of years into developing it. And then at the end, we realize, boy, we didn't think at all about how this will make its way into the real world. That's something that was unique about this initiative through the NINDS, is that we engaged implementation scientists and experts in transferring policy into practice from the start of this initiative. So we introduced the framework last month with our newest set of publications. And now the next phase of this work is to create a model for implementation into clinical practice in emergency departments, in ICUs, and in other settings where care for traumatic brain injury patients takes place. You know, it might seem to your listeners, you know, as long as something is going to improve care for patients and improve chances of survival, recovery, and return to maximum life after injury, that's just a straight shot and doctors start doing it the next day. But it requires a pretty massive educational effort to make emergency department physicians and other providers aware of this new framework, and then to create a workflow for them to plug into their everyday practice. And so one example of that, for instance, is the need for us to develop plugins of this CBIM framework into the electronic medical record platform that clinicians use. There's an old saying that if it's not in the EHR, it doesn't exist. So that's really the next phase of this work that we're embarking on with our implementation scientist experts.
These are additional tests. Are you concerned that this new framework could raise the cost of treatment for TBIs?
We actually believe there will be major cost savings with this new framework. So the only new test, quote, added to this framework is the emergence of blood-based biomarkers, which are of very low cost. They're conducted on a point of care device in the emergency department. They don't require a separate procedure, for instance, outside the emergency department. And as I mentioned, estimates indicate that the utility of these blood-based biomarkers may reduce unnecessary CAT scans in this population by a magnitude of about 30%.
Wow.
So we'd replace a rather expensive imaging procedure with a lower cost point of care test at the bedside that would give us an immediate result and inform our care decisions, including whether or not that patient requires advanced imaging studies for their injury.
At the bedside, but what about the sidelines? I'm thinking about football. Would this new system also change how assessments might be done in football, perhaps in the locker room or you know, on the sidelines?
I would expand your question, Kate, to also military medical settings. And something that our group here at the Medical College of Wisconsin, my colleague Tim Meyer, who's a neuroscientist here, and I are leading a new study to employ elements of the CBIM model in the field. Looking at the utility, for instance, of blood-based biomarker testing on the sideline in sports or in the training room at with athletes experiencing sport-related concussion, but also with military service members who are injured in the field, and looking at the feasibility and utility of this point of care testing in the field. And the additional project as part of that study is employing point of care blood-based biomarker testing in ambulances. We believe there could be enormous value, for instance, in a motor vehicle crash that's 45 minutes from the major level one trauma center, but 5 minutes from a local community hospital. That biomarker test in the field conducted by paramedics or EMTs could immediately inform the triage of that patient and determine whether they should be taken directly to the level one trauma center or it's adequate to take them to the local community hospital.
As you look at the research that has been done on TBIs, has it been held back at all by the Glasgow Coma Scale, or could these new standards help to inform new areas of research on TBIs?
I'm a big fan of the Glasgow Coma Scale. It has been around for 15 years. It really has been the cornerstone for acute triage in traumatic brain injury. So as I said earlier, this movement is not about tossing out the GCS, but adding additional tools into this multidimensional framework that give us a much richer characterization of the individual patient that can inform their treatment and their rehabilitation. The achievements in research in traumatic brain injury over the last 25 to 30 years are exactly what has put us in this position to really make an enormous step forward in clinical care, ultimately benefiting our patients.
Mike, thank you for sharing your research. Thank you for joining us.
It's really my pleasure, Kate. Thanks for having me back.
Mike McRae is a professor of neurosurgery and neurology and is director of the Brain Injury Research Program at the Medical College of Wisconsin, one of the authors of a new classification system for assessing traumatic brain injuries. For disclosure, Medical College of Wisconsin is a business sponsor of WPR.
We have a one-day member drive coming up on Thursday, and a one-day drive works when we get an early start.
Listener support is the foundation of our budget. It makes the research-based news and the thought-provoking conversations you come here for possible.
Support what you value. Give right now online at wpr.org/donate. That's wpr.org/donate.